this is wildly immoral, but it is the news, according to me. Well, somebody's outraged. We'll talk about that. I'm a little outraged that one of the squad is in a little bit of an outrage, a little bit of a tiff, a little bit of a there's a little bit upset. In the meantime, I think the real reason, now this is just I'm just speculating, because that's all I am. I'm a speculator. I'm a professional speculator. I don't even think there is such a thing. Well, maybe there is, because I guess there is now, because I am one. I can just say whatever I want to be. That's one of my pronouns. Professional speculator. My pronouns are Lord and Master and professional speculator. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an epidemiologist or any kind of financial counselor or life coach. I'm not an authority on anything. So if you want to take my opinions and do something with them, that's up to you. But that's all on you. That's all about you. That's all about me right now, because this is the news according to me, not the news according to you. This is the news according to me, and so we have to keep that straight. Just so you know what you've tuned into here. That's what this is. It is, what is today? It is Tuesday still. I thought Tuesday was gone. I thought didn't somebody eliminate Tuesdays? I thought somebody got rid of Tuesdays. We went straight to hump day. March 8th, 2022 at 9:39 Eastern Standard Time. And here I am, bringing you all the news that's fit to talk about that you don't want to have to find out for yourself. That's what this amounts to. That's basically what it is. It's me talking about all the news. Excuse me. It's all the news channels that you. I don't have a little on my other device in my home studio and at my the world headquarters. I have a little button I can push when I have to cough. It's kind of handy because I can just push the little button. I can, do all the noises you don't want to hear. And then I just let go of that. And you had no clue that thing existed. Because if a tree coughs in the woods, that's quite an event, actually. I don't know that trees cough. But if a tree did cough, that'd be something for the books right there. We have in my cup this morning, which is, I think that this is what Ilhan is really, in my opinion, this is a dog whistle. When she starts to say that she's more, it's a moral, immoral outrage or whatever, she's morally outraged. I think that what she's really upset about, I'm using AOC's line of thinking. And when people are upset about what she says and her policies, it's just because they want to date her. When she says date, she means something else, but that's, we all know, those of us who are adults know what she's saying when she says that. And this is part of that's a psychological problem she has right there. Not only is she not very bright politically, she may not know what a garbage disposal is, but she is a U.S. congresswoman. Yeah. And, she thinks that she's so into herself that's what she thinks. She thinks all the Republicans just want to, they're just mad at her because they know they can't have her. Yeah, there's actually a psychological diagnosis for that. I'm not going to get into it because I'm not a psychologist, by the way. It's another thing I'm not. I'm just aware of something that I'm just passing on to you. It's just because of some research I've done, but it's just a fact. Talk to a psychologist about it and ask him what that is when someone thinks that. Yeah, anyway. So in my cup this morning, I think if Ilhan knew what was in my cup, she would probably be a lot less morally outraged. Because, she's a fine, upstanding, moral individual. She's an authority on morality, after all, because she wears a hijab. She must be. If you've seen some of the extravagant hijabs that she wears. Now, keep in mind, this, I'm not one to poke fun or to talk about anybody else's religion or that kind of thing, but there, I will call out hypocrisy. And regardless of, in fact, I'll start with my own. Because it takes one to know one, and you can say that. I tend to be a hypocrite because I profess to follow the Messiah, and I am probably, I'm not an authority on this either, but I'm probably one of the worst examples of that on the planet. And I'm not just saying that as some kind of false humility thing. I'm just here to tell you, if you're looking for an example, I'm not so sure I'm the one you want to put on that pedestal. So, I mean, obviously, I'm here talking on the show, talking about people. This is not, you know, this is not Christ-like. I don't think probably half the things I say probably can't go through a day. There's a scripture that tends to haunt me occasionally. It's all that you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I think I probably, by the time I get out of bed, I've probably already messed that one up. I'm in my cup this morning. I have. We'll just move on before I break down the cup I have is kind of interesting. It's a hotel cup. It's one of these little paper wax-covered cups for coffee because they don't have glass, apparently, in Wisconsin. So they give us these little paper cups that last about two times. You can use them about two times, and then you got to throw them away because they get all soaked with other things. And so I've got, believe it or not, this is yesterday after I got done with my chores. Before I started into the work that I was doing. I didn't start work until around noon tomorrow. Yeah, yesterday. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow. 3 days ago would be tomorrow. Yeah. I probably should wake up more. I've already been up and exercised. I've already went out and jogged my little 2 mile thing and did my. Actually, did weights this morning as well. I used to do my cardio in the morning and then I would do weights in the afternoon. But the schedule I'm on right this week does not. It's not conducive for that. I find that I get done much later in the day, and it's by the time if I were to come back here to the hotel and do my weight training, the weight work that I do, which is not nothing big, just keeping the old man, you know, bones from breaking, putting myself under, you know, just a little bit of exercise, getting, you know, whatever. I'm not crazy about it. But I've discovered that if I do that, by the time I do that and then go eat supper, which is the best way to do that, the best way is to exercise and then with weights training anyways to get your protein afterwards. Typically, that's kind of the best way to do it. At least that's been traditional knowledge. I'm sure the doctors all have a different opinion of that now. That's because I'm not a doctor and I have no idea. I just know what's worked for millennia because I've been around that long. So I used to do that. I used to work out in the afternoon before supper. Well, then I would do my cardio in the morning, eat breakfast, go about my business, do my work, and then I'd get done and do my weight training, and then I would go to supper, and I would sleep like a baby at night. Well, then I got this weird schedule. So now I'm finding I just do my cardio, and then I'll do a little bit of weight training. I don't have as much steam now when I do my weight training, which is interesting. I know if I feel warmed up and stuff, you can do that. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think about me? So we have in my cup is. I'll get around to it. Don't worry. I've got sweet tea, and the key here is to where it came from. I was going to get some on Sunday, and I was thinking almost all the way as I was driving up here to Appleton, I was thinking, you know, I should stop into this place and get some tea on the way up here. I should get my tea already. I just get a couple large sweet teas, and that'll take me through the week. That'll get me through a whole week. And then about the time I was ready to look for a place to pull off and get, you know, two large sweet teas, I realized it's Sunday and Chick-fil-A isn't open. For some reason, I don't know, you know. So I ended up stopping at a Culver's. I got sweet tea there, but I did not get my staple. But yesterday morning, by golly, Chick-fil-A was open. And we got two sweet teas. What's interesting about this place? I actually stopped here at the Chick-fil-A here in Appleton. And I don't know if any of you have ever gone to Appleton. Or gone to Chick-fil-A, or Appleton. I don't know if you've gone to Appleton either. I'm not an expert on those things. I'm not a transportation analysis guy, and I'm not the NSA. I don't know what you're doing. So I have I pulled into this Chick-fil-A and I got two large sweet teas. Didn't get any food. I just got sweet teas, and I don't know. It was like $100 or something. I don't know. It was ridiculous, but it's worth it because it's good sweet tea. So I pulled through there. Got my two large sweet teas. They take your order out in the parking lot. They meet you at the, you know, as you pull in, they meet you there. And then they take your order. Sometimes they make you pay there. But this particular individual said, the next guy's going to have you take your payment. So, okay. So I pulled forward. The next guy took my payment. By the time I got up to where the thing was to get my tea, this young gal was there. Probably, you know, just, you know, she almost looked like she was just out of high school. And she's just one of those people that is like overly nice. And, like ridiculously nice. It's a moral outrage. It's wildly immoral how nice she was being. She practically came out of the little booth thing and handed me my tea. And she kind of talked to me like I was this, you know how people talk to like really nice old man or a really nice old lady. And that's what I got out of that. She was talking to me like I was old and decrepit and couldn't understand what she was saying. It was nice. It was nice of her, but, you know, a little patronizing. Here you go, sir. Here's your sweet tea. She called me by name. Of course, they take your name there because they want to call you by your first name. It's a personalized service. And I grabbed my tea and said, yeah, whatever. And I just drove off. I always do. I like to do that. Chick-fil-A, because, you know, when you say thank you, they always say, my pleasure. So when you say, yeah, whatever, they're like, we don't know what to say. My pleasure? Like, they ask the question. No, I don't do that. I say thank you several times. I say thank you, thank you, thank you. They have to say, my pleasure, my pleasure, my pleasure. Try it sometime. They have to, for every thank you, they have to say my pleasure. Pretty sure they have to do that. Pretty sure that's in their bylaws somewhere. They brainwash these people to do this stuff. So Ilhan Omar, the quote from Ilhan Omar is, this is wildly immoral act. This wildly immoral act, Ilhan Omar. I think if I play this is, I don't know if I can play this. Yeah, I don't think I can. I think if I play this, it's going to end up being something else. It's probably going to have an advertisement and all kinds of other things in it. This isn't on YouTube. This is on another website. Democrat Minister, hammered presidency squad representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota. House of Representatives. Hammered President Biden over reports that the White House may ask Saudi Arabia to pump more oil amid the war in Ukraine. Omar, she does not like the Saudis, by the way. There's a reason for that. I'm not going to get into the whole Sunni thing and all the other stuff that this is about. But this is, you have to understand the bitterness within Ilhan Omar. Really the whole squad. But there is this vitriol and bitterness that resides in Ilhan Omar that most people don't realize. It is an anger towards the United States. It is it's hard to describe. Again, part of this also comes back to me listening to someone talk. Now, I don't know if, I have never heard anybody talk about this. Speaking of listening to voices, this is a sidetrack. Bunny trail alert. I have a squirrel. Former Vice President Biden is, he has an issue. He's got a sinus issue. My guess is, there's a lot of things. I've had some issues with septum deviation in my nasal area. Had to have an operation on it. You wouldn't know by the way I sound now, because these pipes are buttery smooth. But I have I had an issue with my nasal thing going on, and it wasn't really changing my voice at all. Well, it did a little bit. I'm very hypersensitive to people's voices. I'm a little bit hypersensitive to my own to some extent, but I can recognize things in people's voices typically. One of the things, and it's just, I assume everybody can, because it's just, I think I've grown up with this more or less, but I know that as I've done more and more with sound recording, music recording, as well as in the last, 5-10 years, I've done a lot more with voiceover work. A lot of vocal recording. And you develop an ear. You train your ear. Not just anybody can just step into a sound booth, into a sound studio, and start engineering music or engineering vocal or running sound at an event even. Because you have to kind of train your ear to isolate certain sounds. So you recognize, oh, there's too much 1500 hertz in here. There's just it's, or there's too much low end. It's, it's muddying up the corners. It's just things like that. You recognize it. And I tell you, I've been to some churches, especially the modern stuff. I was part of a mega church for a little while, and it's just not my thing. We were there for several years, and I was on staff even for a while, but I kind of grew a little weary of it, because I recognized some things that just, I'm just not real thrilled about some of the mentality that goes into that, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not for me. And so I try to stay away from it. Now, some people are called to that. They fit a good fit for that. They definitely have a mission. Sometimes they don't recognize what their mission is, or they're not willing to admit what their mission is, but there is a place for them, certainly in the kingdom. So I would walk into some of these churches that would be, doing, sometimes I'm the worship leader, some of them. And what's difficult, now when you're up on stage and you're leading, it's a little harder to tune into some of the, what the people are hearing, because I can't really, I'm hearing usually something typically in my ears. I've either got what they call an in-ear monitor, or I have a monitor on the stage I'm listening to. And that gives me a different perspective, and I need to hear different things when I'm up there. I need to hear a flat sound, and I need to hear a little bit of myself, and then have a certain amount of the mix of the rest of the instruments and vocals in there. That way I can tell kind of what's going on. I can help direct them if I can hear what they're doing. But I also need to be able to monitor myself over the loudness of the rest of the music, so I can tell whether or not I'm singing on key or not. And so what I do is I try to get down into the house and while people are practicing a little bit, so I can kind of tell what's going on in the house sound, especially when I'm visiting someplace. Now, if it's a place I attend occasionally, then I'm down there anyway. I listen to what's going on. And when you get a room full of people, it sounds very different than when it's empty, regardless of what kind of treatments they have on them in the room. That's half the battle right there. Not just how you have everything tuned, but how you normally, if you tune everything flat, by that I mean just if you just put everything at 0 dB, in other words, you're not boosting any bass, you're not taking anything out of the room, and you just play the music and see how the room affects it. So you're tuning the sound typically to whatever the room needs. Not, well, we need more bass just because we want to have more bass. You want, I'm not going to get into it too far, but it's one of those things where you train your ear to hear those certain frequencies. Well, when you hear someone talking or speaking, or you start that stuff starts to come natural to you after a while. You start to walk into a place and you almost, your skin almost crawls because you're hearing, most people would walk into that room and not notice it. They just know it doesn't sound right. But they don't know what it is. It doesn't sound, they don't know what it's not right. They wouldn't know how to fix it. Sometimes it just makes people uncomfortable because, oh, I don't like the sound. Or, it's too loud. Usually they'll just say it's too loud. Well, loudness is not always the problem. Sometimes it's just the way it's tuned. But when I hear voices like Ilhan Omar, and especially Circle Back and some of the other people on this, Kirby and all the Blinken and all those people. I know that Tulsi Gabbard has gotten a lot of traction, right, at least recently, on some conservative shows. Now, it's very possible. This is a side trail to the side trail. By the way, I haven't forgotten what I was going to talk about with Joe and his nose. Tulsi Gabbard is, I think, trying to build a bridge in a coalition for independence, independent voters, as well as the right, by going on like Tucker and all these other shows all the time, and being kind of a statesperson, a statesman, which she is. I think she is. I'm not convinced it's genuine. I think this is a political move because she knows her own party has kind of disavowed her. She has no place else to go if she's going to stay in politics. She's got to develop a coalition here. She's got to put together some people, some networks. She's got to bend around a little bit, maybe twisting around and avoiding some of the things she does believe, because she's kind of a radical. And when I hear her talk, there's something that bothers me that says this is disingenuous. I don't know what that is, but I'm not exactly sure she's totally upfront with the people that she when she's talking about talking to people. That's just my take on it. Be that what it is, I think for the most part, I would certainly trust her over Ilhan Omar or some of these other lame brain wacky people right now that we have in our administration that's currently running the country into the ground. So we have Psaki, who got all upset, I guess, with Peter Ducey again. That's a shock. He was confronting her about the oil situation. And she said something about there's 6,000 or 9,000 contracts right now for people to drill that aren't being, nothing's being done to them. This is smoke and mirrors, what she's saying. This is not, it is, again, one of those things where she had that statement prepared for that question. There have always been drilling contracts that are sat upon because the cost of drilling in those areas, they want the rights and the permits to drill. They don't necessarily want to drill right now because the cost in drilling in those areas would be prohibitive. Now, if the price of oil gets up to, $150 a barrel, which is well up to that, it's quickly approaching that. And if it stays up there, then that all of a sudden it becomes more. Or if we have the kind of equipment or whatever, if they've developed new techniques to get that oil, or to do the drilling. See, sometimes you do the drilling and there's no oil there. It's just all speculation, much like myself. There's that spec word again. So we have that stuff going on. Well, she got all upset. She kind of snapped back at him and made this comment. Let's look at historical data here, Jen. See, if we go back a couple of years ago, even a year ago. Oh, well, I'm getting music in the back of my. This show's going to last a lot longer. We have to go longer in this show. I'm just going to mute that for now because that's not going to work. So If you go back just a year ago, those contracts still existed. And yet, and we had some of the highest consumption of oil in this country in our nation's history. This is before COVID. And we're not back to those same levels of consumption yet. But we're talking tens of millions of barrels a day. And yet fuel prices are where they are. What if we get back to those same levels of consumption? What's the gas price going to do? Well, those same contracts existed back then, and nobody was drilling with those. And yet, gas prices started rising under, not the Trump administration, under with COVID going on, under the Biden administration, that's when the prices started going up. Now, I'll get into all that. Let's get back to the nose issue. We're in the nose. This is the nose, according to me. We have Joe Biden. You hear him cough occasionally. He'll be in the middle of a conversation. Be giving a speech, whatever, and he just, you know, just all, and then he'll cough. He has these coughing fits, things. Not a coughing fit, not like Hillary Clinton. Remember her coughing fits she used to have. She's got issues too, and that typically. Well, I'm not going to get into her heart situation, but there's also things that surround that whole issue. But again, I'm not a doctor. What do I know? I think I talked about the ivermectin story the other day. I'll get back into that. So Joe, when he's talking, his breathing pattern, as well as his speech and the way his voice sounds, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say he's got an issue with his nasal passages. I don't know if it's an issue. I think there's such a thing as a fallen septum. It's a collapsed situation with the septum where your sinuses start to collapse. There's issues there. He's got issues there, and what I had was a kind of a chronic sinus infection all the time because of the way my septum was doing its thing and was causing an infection inside my sinuses. And a neti pot was the only thing that kept me from getting infections. And the issue that you get into is that this cause of the infection causes drainage from your sinuses, and that drainage goes down your neck, goes down your throat. Your neck is on the outside, I think. I think your throat's on the inside. Your throat goes down the inside of your neck. Just, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a biochemist. Not a rodeo clown, but I think, I'm pretty sure that your throat goes down through your neck. I'm not a biologist, but I'm just guessing on this one. So the issue here was that what I'm hearing from Joe is that his nose, there's something wrong there. And he's got this drainage, which goes down, causes him to cough occasionally just to clear his throat all the time. Now, I tend to do this still. I still cough occasionally quite often, or I'll clear my throat quite often. There's a reason for that. And I think that it's because I'm a little hypersensitive to anything being wrong with my voice, it's like my throat itself. I think because I talk so much and I'm so a little bit sensitive to anything interfering with my vocal condition or the sound of my voice, that I clear it immediately because I don't like having any kind of phlegm. I'm not going to name my next dog Phlegm. That'd be a good name for a dog. Here, Phlegm. Sit down, Phlegm. Sit, Phlegm. Good boy, Phlegm. Good Phlegm. Oh, bad Phlegm. Here, Phlegm. Catch the ball, Phlegm. I don't know. There's just, it just might be kind of interesting. Here, Phlegm. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, just a side thought, squirrel thing. Anyway, I just want to throw that out there. Next time you listen to Biden speak, just sounds like he's got a nasal issue. Like there's something going on in his sinuses. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. So Ilhan Omar is all upset because of this whole Saudi thing. And I think that part of the issue, apparently, our response to Putin's immoral war shouldn't be to strengthen our relationship with the Saudis, who are currently causing the worst humanitarian crisis on the planet in Yemen, Omar tweeted. See, the White House is talking about meetings with the Saudis because they want them to pump more oil. So now we are kowtowing and begging the cartel, once again, OPEC, to pump more oil because we're not independent of oil anymore. This whole thing, it stems around that. Again, the whole thing with, you know, Ilhan here being all of a sudden the moral compass of our nation. She has personal issues with Saudis. Talk about the immorality in the country she came from. She had to flee that country because of the things that were going on. She came to this country that took her in, that she hates, that she was, you know, raised up to be where she's at now, because this country is so terrible that a black refugee from another country can become a congresswoman. It's terrible in this country. That's how terrible it is. With all the discrimination that we have, that's what happens. We just hate people. Like you know. No, it's not you. It's not the color of your skin. It's not your gender. It's your policies that you have to understand that we don't like. You can't just say, well, you don't like me because I'm whatever. No, it's because of what your ideology. It's because of your policies. It's because of this anti-American ideology you have. While you wear your religious garb and then put fancy jewelry and makeup and all kinds of other things on your face that basically would get you shot in some or stoned or beaten in some of the countries that, you know, hold true to the faith that you believe in. Maybe I'm going over. I'm going a little bit beyond there. I'm going a little over the line here. But, you know, they're the ones that stepped across the line to begin with and made, you know, changed where the line is. So I'm just, you know, going to respond to that right now. So I just, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to point out something. You know, we have to be aware of this kind of stuff. People don't think about that kind of thing. Maybe they shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. Again, I'm not an expert. I'm just a speculator. So, and again, like I said, I am not the best example of anything. The last year, the Biden State Department removed the Houthi movement's terrorism designation. In 2015, Saudi Arabia led a coalition of Gulf states that intervened in the Yemen civil war against the rebelling Houthi movement, an Islamist group that was previously labeled terrorists. And of course, the Biden administration removed the designation of terrorist from them. So they're another talking about it. It's just it's ridiculous. So what is this? One more. What's this? Drivers are calling auto. The Walmart of auto insurance. I don't know what that is. Okay. It's just some kind of advertisement. So there you go. There you have it. That's probably all I'm going to do for today. Now, I'm probably going to have a show tonight. I've been toying with this idea that I'm going to have a live show this week. Audio. Might do a video. I might try to do something on Rumble again. Since I'm paying for it, I might as well try to use it again. We'll see how it works. I think a lot of it has to do with the browser that I use, as well as what where I am as far as my internet service that I have. If this evening, and the problem in a hotel is that a lot of people like to try to, they'll start, you know, pulling their Netflix out at night, and they're streaming movies and stuff. And it has a tendency to make things very slow. So tomorrow morning might be a better possibility for me to do a live show. So it might be tomorrow morning. However, I may give it a try this evening. So if it doesn't work this evening to do a live Rumble, possibly a live Podbean, I may try to do a live show tomorrow morning, just because I think the internet seems to be a little bit faster in the mornings here at the hotel. So at least mid-mornings. That's the plan. Not making any guarantees or promises on that one. You're gonna, you know, if I guarantee, I'll tell you what, if it doesn't happen, you can have your money back. I know those of you who are big supporters of this show, and you've paid so much money to get the quality of, you know, this high quality show that you get here, the News According to Me. So, once again, Tuesday, 2022, March 8th. And I just want to thank you all for listening, hearing me babble on, drool, and just be an old man for a couple minutes and talk about stuff. I will have more content on the live show, by the way. I'm going to have some audio and maybe I'm still working on this video thing. I might try to get some video done. Be able to post up video when I'm doing a video show. And that's kind of a big deal. So it's not just a talking head thing. It's a little bit difficult. It's a little bit tricky. I have to have just the right software to do that because I'm a one-man show here. And doing it with on my own, I have to have everything kind of set up ahead of time. And I have to click buttons and stuff while I'm on the, you know, while I'm on screen. So I'm on the, I don't like to do editing because it's live. So it's a little difficult to do that. So requires a lot more, about three times the effort in terms of show prep to do that. So, and right now I'm not doing any. I just turn this thing on and here I am. I'm going to spout off about stuff. You kids get off my lawn. Who's turning these lights on? Keep turning these lights off. Got to pay the bills around here. So that's the kind of stuff that you hear typically on this show. And that's why you tune in. Because that's, you want to hear that. It's good to hear that once in a while. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for letting me waste some of your time. And it's been great. I really appreciate you allowing me to do that for you today. So thank you once again. And thank you for sharing the show and downloading it. And hopefully I've given you a little bit of a laugh this morning. Put a little smile on your face while I share with you the terrible things that are going on in the world. And we'll talk about this Ukraine thing more a little bit later, possibly on a live show. But that's all there is for now. And once again, thanks for being with me. Take care, everybody. Be careful out there. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. Pray for the world. Pray for those people in Ukraine and in Russia. And have a day. God bless everybody.